Welcome back to American Scene, the show where we talk about movies with American in the title and what they have to say about American identity, culture, and values. I'm Ben Rosen, and today's show is a special bonus interview following up on our American Christmas episode. My friend, former housemate, Portland native, and an incredibly busy feature film producer, Lorenzo Nardini. Lorenzo, thanks so much for being here.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to see you again. Great to catch up. Gosh, it's been years, and you have been busy. I'd love to know just a little bit. Tell people about yourself, your journey in Hollywood, how you got to be doing what you're doing now.
It has been a while, hasn't it? 3-4 years now since you left LA.
Yeah, since you left that house in Hollywood and
went to my homeland of Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, we swapped places.
I've been somehow stayed very busy even through the pandemic and even the strikes last year. And I work for a company, MPCA. Independent Film and Television Production Company. And for the past 10 years, we've specialized in Christmas and rom-com movies, varying from the Hallmark traditional stuff to up to like bigger budget Netflix fare, like The Christmas Prince, the Princess Switch movies, and everything in between. So, it's been a very interesting education, you could call it, I guess, working on these kinds of movies. When I was going to film school all the way back in the 2000s, I never really thought that I'd be doing this. I thought I'd be, making action movies at this point, and maybe I still will one day, but I've learned a lot. I've worked on probably 30 plus movies now, in producing and wow. in one capacity or another. I've also, done a lot of different jobs in the business, from starting out in reality TV after I graduated. I worked in post-production too for a little while at this trailer house, into management, or not, I didn't manage. I was an assistant at an agency. And then, I've been working for MPCA for the last 8.5 years. So,
gosh, has it been that long?
It feels a lot longer sometimes.
Now, okay, so you mentioned two things that I have to mention. You did know that I interned at MPCA, right? We talked about that
while I was there.
No. This was 2012. No, 2011.
Oh,
late 2011.
Okay.
Yeah,
we had a lot of interns over the years, but I don't remember you being there. But that's wild. Okay, that's so 2011, 2012. That would have been, I think, during our like DVD action movie days.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
With like Jean-Claude yep. Van Damme and those kinds of things.
I remember reading and covering many action related scripts and some comedies too. And I remember working on some like cast idea lists as well for some of those, which were,
yeah.
It was very fun.
Yeah, that sounds
that was,
right.
Yeah, that must've been summer of 2011.
Okay.
Or at least going into the fall maybe, because then I got my first job, which was also at a trailer house, at the Ant Farm when it existed. That was my job from November 2011 into, when I got fired in Memorial Day weekend of 2012.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I always remember. It was like, because Men in Black 3 was coming out that weekend and we had worked on that campaign. but it was fine. I got an extra long weekend. I got a 3.5 day weekend.
So well, it was fine. At least you got something out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's wild. Gosh. I never knew. I don't remember mm-hmm. you telling me that. That's fun. We've both worked for Mr. Brad Crevoy at MPCA.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I caught up with Alex Koskis too, right? Koskis, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. How long is he? He's not still there, right?
Now no, and he was not there. I don't know if I've ever met him. I've met Steve Stabler. I don't know if you ran into him.
I think
he and Brad were partners back in the 90s, like on Dumb and Dumber and Biodome and those kinds of things. I think they went their separate ways. I think they're in the end of the 90s or so, but they're still friends and stuff. But
Yeah, we shouldn't forget to mention the like big hit movies that Brad produced.
Yeah, he was the king of comedy in the 90s. He did Beverly Hills Ninja, Chris Farley's last movie. He did Jungle to Jungle with Tim Allen, another classic.
I watched that so many times as a kid.
My personal favorite, though, has to be Kingpin.
Kingpin is a definitive movie of the 90s.
I would be so bold as to say it is my favorite Farrelly Brothers film. It's, you know, just like Bill Murray, Woody Harrelson, I mean, even, you know, Randy Quaid, even though he's gone off the deep end. As of late, he's, you know, they're just, it's hilarious.
he's had an interesting past few years, and you've had an interesting past few years. How about that for a transition?
No, there you go.
So what, since 2019, 2020, I remember we hosted a watch party for your movie, The Night Before Christmas, with Vanessa Hudgens and Josh Whitehouse. And since then, you've done, like, I count over a dozen Christmas movies that you've done, and there are, like, 13 alone that have Christmas in the title, but there are others as well. So what's the count now, and what goes into this?
I've lost count, honestly. I was gonna go and count before this, but I just was like, it's several dozen at movies at least, but Christmas movies, I'd say some 20 to 25 probably. You know, Christmas being in the title is not always. Like, sometimes it's holiday, sometimes it's, but yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, that's for sure. And yeah, The Night Before Christmas was one of my, not my first, but certainly the first, like, big one that I worked on. And that was a lot of fun. I got to go up to location in the wilds of Northern Ontario and be the big cheese on set. You know, kind of telling people what to do and solving problems. And I remember the first or second day, one of the ADs came up to me and was like, Lorenzo, Vanessa wants to see you in her trailer. And I was like, oh, okay, really? And so I went in. It was nothing. It was just, you know, she had some question or something about what, but I was like, my first day on set and Vanessa Hudgens calls me to her trailer. Well, okay, I guess I am.
You are the big cheese.
All powerful.
You're the problem solver. You're the one that people need to see when you're on set. Yeah. How did that make you feel?
It was weird, you know, because I just, like, you know, one thing about Brad, I mean, he's like a very generous person and gives people opportunities. And so, you know, I actually started as his assistant and worked my way up. And so, you know, getting to go and take on that role and take on that responsibility was a, you know, big opportunity. And I was a little anxious about it, but I think I performed the duties admirably. And it was, I mean, it was a big, at least for me, it was a big movie. I mean, not only were we shot most of it in Ontario. And for those who haven't seen it, it's about a medieval knight who is sent through time by an old crone, a witch, to present day Ohio, and falls in love with Vanessa Hudgens, who's a science teacher. But there were a couple sequences in the film where, you know, you're back in the 13th century or whatever, 1300s, and we shot those bits in Ireland. So I got to fly with it was like me and the director and the DP were the only ones who flew to Ireland. Otherwise, the crew was all local. We had people from, like, fresh off of the final season of Game of Thrones, like, snowing the castle up and, you know, six or seven horses riding around with people in full, like, mail armor. You know, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff to be a part of.
Yeah, that sounds cool. And that was, I mean, this was the follow-up to Princess Switch, right? Is it in that canon, or is it in that, or does it just also happen to have Vanessa in it?
Oh boy. Oh, let me tell you something. So all of, we've done, I want to say 16 or 17 movies for Netflix now. And I don't know how many of them are connected, but we've built a, we call it the NCU, the Netflix Christmas Universe, where we've planted like Easter eggs and even had a cameo from the Christmas Prince in the final Princess Switch movie. And then in The Night Before Christmas, there's a bit of dialogue where a character says they visited the whatever Aldovia, the kingdom from the Princess Switch. So yeah, in this universe, there are not only three Vanessa Hudgens, but four Vanessa Hudgens at least. And who knows how many more may exist somewhere. But yeah, that was another fun thing we kind of built. You know, it was never a plan like the MCU. we kind of just were spitballing and planting them for the fans. So technically part of the same universe, to answer your question, yes.
Yeah, so a lot more goes into making these movies than people might expect. Outside of the NCU and outside of the Vanessa Hudgens movies, I mean, as we said, like, you've made a lot of movies over the past few years. You've got a well-oiled machine, I guess, and you're there moving things along. What goes into the traditional, or how are things different than maybe at a different production company or making a different kind of movie, the development process, the production process? I'd love to know more about that.
Yeah, it's as you said, it's definitely a well-oiled machine. You know, the past few years we've done 15 to 20, sometimes more, movies every year. And if you average that out, that's like a movie every 2 weeks. Of course, we shoot a lot of them at the same time, and we have some awesome crews in Canada, you know, Ontario, like I said. We shoot in Vancouver too. We've shot in Ottawa. We shoot some stuff in Utah. We've gone to Oklahoma, Ireland, Romania. I mean, we're, you know, all over the place. And I mean, just at our company, we now have about 20 employees to making it all happen and coordinating people and just kind of keeping an eye on things and making sure that all the movies are up to our standards. Yeah, it's a lot of work and takes a lot of people to make it happen. And of course, it starts from the script. Developing Christmas movies is it can be challenging, for sure. You know, as there's so many out there now, it's hard to try and stand out from the crowd. When I started, it was really just Hallmark. I mean, you'd have the occasional Christmas movie coming out, but they were usually bigger movies, and Hallmark was cornering the market on the smaller stuff. And I think, I'm pretty sure that it's kind of our fault that there's so many Christmas movies being made every year now because of the Christmas Prince. Yeah, I remember when that came out in 2017, social media just was going nuts over that movie. And it was to us, it was just like any other movie. It was like, oh, we're a royal Christmas movie. We've made, you know, a dozen of those. But for some reason, it just like it came out at the right time in the right place, and it exploded. And so everybody wanted to get in on it. Now you've got Hulu and Amazon, CBS, Peacock. I mean, everybody and their mother is making Christmas movies nowadays. So yeah, so finding a story that's somewhat different. I mean, you have to stay within a certain parameter. Most of them got to have some kind of love story. They got to go and do their fun Christmas things, sledding or making cookies or going to the market or what, you know, whatever it is. And finding those ideas can be anything from writers pitching things to us, or I mean, actors might have scripts that they read and they'll bring them in and say like, hey, I want to do this thing. Or you know, we might have ideas and go to writers and say, hey, can you write this for us? So yeah, and then we develop it. One of the ways we stay so busy and make so many movies is that we tend to write finished, we write scripts and then take those out and try to sell those. a lot of places will take pitches out and develop them with a buyer after they've already been sold. But we tend to be able to move a lot faster when we go in with a script. So it's a little more risky investing money up front in a script, but it's paid off for us so far. So, and then once the script's sold, we move quick. You know, there's casting and prep and hiring a director and the crew and all that stuff. But the well-oiled machine is efficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You said it's risky maybe to front some of that money and pay for a script. But like, you already know what you're doing so well that it's basically a guarantee, right? I mean, has there ever been a time where like you really believed in a particular script and you know, kind of assumed that it would go and it didn't work out?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, all the time. I mean, it's not a guarantee by any means. I mean, we have a lot more scripts that haven't sold than have sold. It's kind of a numbers game. I mean, we you know, you have an idea of what might sell, what is popular, but as I said, people are always trying to find a new way to tell the same old story, the Christmas love stories. And so year to year, a buyer may ask for something different, something that you thought might work the year before, send it to them, and they're like, that's not quite right for us now. And so you got to adapt and try to keep up with the times.
Do you, have you had any ideas that have turned into movies or anything that you've pitched and writer ran with it?
I haven't gotten anything made that was like based off of one of my ideas. The one that I'm kind of was most heavily involved with like developing and bringing into the company and kind of reshaping was from not this Christmas but the Christmas before. It was on Freevee called Hotel for the Holidays, and I worked with these two writers, Maggie and Margot, on it, and they brought us a sort of anthology idea. It was back when Quibi was still a thing, if you remember Quibi.
Briefly
and so it was more of a just self-contained kind of 10-minute Christmas love stories. And so once that like went away, we had the idea to reshape it into more of a Love Actually kind of thing and set it at a hotel, based it around the manager of the hotel and put little love stories around her between the different guests and employees and stuff like that. So that was fun to put together, definitely different than what we've done before.
I mean, that sounds like it could be a whole franchise. I mean, easily repeatable. Is that yeah, something you're thinking about?
You never know. We certainly talked about it.
yeah. Well, I hope so. That's very cool. Is that something you want to do? Is pitch, have more of your ideas? Come to fruition.
I've sure. When I'm struck with inspiration, it doesn't tend to be in the Christmas genre. Like I said, I'm kind of more of like an action and sci-fi and horror. You know, those are my roots growing up. But I did actually recently come up with an idea that I think maybe has some potential, but I haven't, you know, I
keep
don't
keep that on the DL.
I'm not gonna share it here. I don't want anyone stealing my idea.
Yeah, we can offline about that. I'd love to hear about it. And I do want to talk about, there is on your resume the past few years, there is one horror movie that I have to ask about, later in the conversation, just because I'm very curious how that
I would love to talk about that.
In the list of all these holiday movies and Christmas movies, there's this one horror movie. Very curious. Well, that's really cool. Yeah, I hope whatever idea you're toying with now, that we see that. Is it? Can you give us any idea? Is it a Christmas movie? It is Christmas.
It's an R-rated Christmas comedy.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, maybe which, going back to the 90s.
Yeah, well, the bad, you know, Bad Santa is definitely more my type of Christmas movie. So I feel like maybe now is the right time for something like that, because you had Silent Night this year with the Joel Kinnaman revenge John Woo, you know, thriller that's set at Christmas, and then Violent Night with David Harbour as the Viking Raider Santa Claus, which was just a blast if you haven't seen that one. So who knows? Yeah, maybe.
Well, it definitely seems like with the kind of material you work on now for Hallmark and you sell to Freevee or Netflix, like that's a niche unto itself, and the R-rated comedy, that's a niche, and the horror, Christmas horror, is its own thing. Like, how do you feel about these? Obviously, it's working for you to have these niches be so popular, but do you ever think we're gonna have another Elf or another Love Actually? That's kind of like this big cultural moment. I guess that kind of happened with Princess Switch.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you talked about when you talked about on the episode about American Christmas Carol and
American Christmas.
American Christmas. Yeah. Well, yeah, of course, as American. Yeah,
of course.
It made me, really kind of made me think, because we are in this period of not just with Christmas movies, I think, but with across media, like it's hard to make a quote unquote classic now, because there's just so much content flooding audiences' brains at any given moment. Barbenheimer, you know, this year is probably the thing, the moment of, but it's like, are those going to last either, or were they just a moment? You had Everything Everywhere All at Once, which was another big moment, but yeah, I feel like you just get these cool things that come along, and then people get distracted by the next cool thing. So it's hard. It's hard to say whether we'll have another Christmas movie that'll stand the test of time and live on in the zeitgeist for years to come. I don't know. I don't know if that's ever going to happen again.
Well, maybe if Greta Gerwig directs it, or Chris Nolan directs it, or you have some big name filmmaker who can, deliver on a Christmas movie like that. I feel like that's...
I would pay $1,000 to see a Christopher Nolan Christmas movie. What would that be even? Like, would it be the origin of Santa Claus? Like, what, like, or some, like, I don't even know.
Be a dark and gritty take on Rudolph, right? Rudolph Begins. There's a lot of snow and insomnia. Maybe that's the closest we get. They could have stuck, like, one Christmas tree in that little town in Alaska, yeah, and it would have been, like, a Die Hard. You could have, you know.
That's right.
Well, you mentioned Bad Santa. What else, what other holiday classics do you return to year after year? Is there anything that maybe the listeners haven't thought of that they should check out?
I don't know if there's anything that is like groundbreaking or people haven't heard of, but I guess my go-to holiday movies are like Home Alone, Die Hard, and yes, that is a Christmas movie. Okay. There's no argument.
No, I mean, anyone, definitely not.
Anyone
here
who says otherwise is just out of their minds.
Being a contrarian.
Exactly. Let's see what else. Love Actually is, you know, as I said, I mean, although my mom is more of the driver of that, it's become an annual, it's like her favorite movie of all time, Love Actually. And she, we took her a few years ago to a live, like, you know, production of it, where they like show clips and then people perform songs and scenes from the movie. And it was kind of fun. But yeah, Love Actually is great. Just Friends is another fun Ryan Reynolds and Amy Smart.
Anna Faris.
Anna Faris, yeah. Yeah.
Is that Chris Klein, right?
Yeah, as the love rival, whatever,
the other,
for Ryan Reynolds. Other, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. Chris Klein gets a lot of love on this show, from American Pie, of course.
Oh, American Pie, yeah, sure. We actually, speaking of American Pie, Jason Biggs was in our most recent Netflix Christmas movie that came out last year, The Best Christmas Ever. Which,
oh, no way. Well, that's the one that people need to check out, it, right?
Duh.
Like, if they haven't
yet.
Yeah,
check out Best Christmas Ever. But it's a who's who of the late 90s and early 2000s. It's also got Heather Graham and our Queen Brandy.
Ah.
You know, yeah.
Great. Yeah, Rodgers and Hammerstein's.
Good cast, yeah. Cinderella herself.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Where is that? Where can people see that?
Netflix. Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's our yearly big Netflix thing.
Very good.
We brought Lindsay back the year before, and now we're bringing those three back. So,
yeah,
it's good stuff. Check it out.
Now I have a two-part question: is, you know, what else do you have coming up? Like, what is your, do you have your big Netflix movie yet set for this coming year? And are there any other horror movies on your slate? And now you can tell me about Margot.
Okay, so so coming up, we have some kind of pretty cool stuff, I think. We do have a couple of Netflix movies that have been announced. One is a second Lindsay Lohan, soon to be classic, called Irish Wish, be coming out this year. Keep an eye out for it. And then we shot a movie in Thailand last year with Brooke Shields, Benjamin Bratt, Chris McDonald from Mad TV is in it, Miranda Cosgrove. It's got a good cast on that one, called Mother of the Bride. A riff on Father of the Bride, of course.
Of course, yeah. We'll need to have a part two to that one for sure.
Mother of the Bride part two, yeah.
Part two, you have to.
We'll bring Steve Martin in. It'll be great. and then we have something that's a little different for us. Not a romantic comedy, although there's some funny bits, but more of a romantic kind of coming of age drama with Jenna Ortega.
Wow, the It Girl herself.
The It Girl. We got her right as Wednesday blew up. We actually were shooting. We had to take a break so she could go do press and stuff for the show. It's called Winter, Spring, Summer, Fall. It'll be, I think, coming up sometime this year. We don't have an exact release date or plan for that just yet. But that's on the horizon.
Is that Netflix as well?
No, that one is with Paramount.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and then we just wrapped up at the end of the year a thriller called The Image of You, which is based on the novel by Adele Parks. It's about twins. One of them's a good girl, one of them's a bad girl, and the good girl falls in love with this guy, and the bad girl doesn't trust him. So she kind of causes trouble and lots of twists and turns and fun, campy, juicy drama happens.
I love a fun thriller. I mean, there's nothing better. That's like, if I'm ever just like clicking around on Netflix or Amazon, I'm like, is this a thriller I've never seen? Sure, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, basically, as long as it's under 2 hours, I'm like, I'm in.
They're good. And that was fun to work on, too. It's Sasha Pietersse from Pretty Little Liars.
Mm, yeah.
She plays the twins, you know, dual role thing. And then Parker Young plays the guy that she falls in love with. And her parents in the movie are played by Nestor Carbonell of Lost and The Dark Knight movies.
The Dark Knight, of course, yes.
And Mira Sorvino, Academy Award winner. Sorvino.
Mighty Aphrodite.
She's the mother. So we landed some pretty great people for that one.
Shout out to Jeff Fisher, director, too.
That sounds like a great slate for the year. I mean, and more Hallmark movies, I'm sure. More.
Yeah. We're working for network called Great American Family now a lot. We still got some business with Hallmark. We've got a show with them, and they're, because they've been kind of, they, Hallmark's been actually doing some interesting things in the Christmas space lately. They're still in that soft, warm, fuzzy Christmas feeling thing, but branching out from the usual guy and a girl in a small town fall in love. They did like a time traveling thing called Biltmore Christmas last year, and a Groundhog's Day thing, which was interesting. Hallmark, Great American Family, Netflix. We've got some things in the works with them. Paramount still, you know, Paramount, the thrillers. Oh, and you mentioned Margot, which was the horror movie. That was another really fun project to get to work on. you know, blood and gore and all the R-rated fun stuff.
It is R-rated.
Yeah, about a smart. It is R-rated. Yeah,
oh, it's hell
about
yeah.
A smart house that some friends from college rent out for a weekend, and they find out that the AI that's controlling the house has sinister intentions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They always
things
do.
Go. Quickly
I mean,
awry,
I mean, we
yeah.
all saw Smart House when we were kids, and I think that family got off easy compared to what it looks like. I watched the trailer for Margo a couple days ago, and yeah, that looks rough. Yeah,
not many people make it out alive of this Smart House.
No. Well, I'll have to check that out. Maybe I'll check it out tonight.
Why not? Why not?
So that must have scratched your horror itch a little bit. Is that something that you found, a script that you found, or how did that come to you?
No, that was something that one of my colleagues developed. I don't remember how it came to us in the first place. I think the writer had a script and brought it in, and we were like, yeah, this seems like fun. And so we developed that, and I came in a little bit later in the process and oversaw the production itself. Yeah, but it was definitely scratched my horror itch, that's for sure.
Great. Well, I'm definitely going to check it out, and I think I can watch it tonight and have a little workout after this, and then
on Paramount Plus. Yeah,
it's going to be it's I don't know if you still keep an eye on the weather up here, but it looks like we're going to get some snow tomorrow. So if I'm getting stuck inside, then it'll definitely be time for some horror movies for sure.
Snow sounds nice. I miss snow in LA.
Yeah, when's the last time you were up here?
I was there in September. Yeah, my friend was having a baby shower, so I made a trip and nice. Saw the family. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah. Is the family still in Portland proper, or are they?
Well, my mom's side is in Portland. Well, in and around Portland.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but my parents, my sister, and my dad's side are all in SoCal.
Gotcha. Well, next time you're up here, we'll definitely have to. Maybe we'll go see a movie.
For sure.
Grab a drink.
I wanted to hit you up and hang out, but it was a blitzkrieg of family stuff and things for my friend's shower and whatnot. So. But next time.
I get it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, yeah, I'll look forward to that. I don't have a lot going on these days. So you come into town, I will make the time to grab a drink or go see a movie with you for sure.
Love it.
Well, okay. Before we wrap, I have to know, you mentioned you watched one of the movies I talked about on the complete American Christmas episode, All American Christmas Carol.
Yes.
2013. What did you think? I have to know.
Oh boy. Oh boy. That was
the
a movie.
Quote for the, that's a pull quote for the cover. Oh boy.
It sure was a movie. So that was 2013, I think, like 10 years ago, right? It's something like that. So that was actually in the early days of even like Hallmark's dominion over Christmas. So clearly a very different, I was a little bit shocked having done so many warm and fuzzy Christmas movies. But this one even had like some nice, sweet moments, like, you know, when her like the funeral bit with when her son's like gone to prison and Wendy McClendon Covey leaving her husband, and I was like, oh, this is sad. It's got pretty decent cast. I mean, it was before Taron was hit it with Orange is the New Black, but who else is there? It's got like Lynn Shea.
Eric Roberts. Yeah.
Eric Roberts, when he showed up, I was like, who gave this man that wig?
Meatloaf. Gosh, I wanted more from Meatloaf. I mean, he's got the one scene, and I get it, but he's kind of doing a Randy Quaid.
He did a little bit of Randy Quaid, didn't he? He was the drunk the drunk dad, trailer park dad.
Yeah, I mean, it's Christmas Carol is not a fun story, like the original version of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not
inherently. No,
it doesn't lean towards comedy. Like, you got, you know, death and poor people, and it's sad. Uh-huh. It's sad. So, yeah. Like, it takes. I respect the attempt to find like do a comic spin on it, but it doesn't. There's no avoiding the like dark realities of the story that you're adapting.
Yeah. Well, and credit, of course, to Mr. Dickens, that it's been adapted so many times into so many kind of different tones and genres. I mean, you had that Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell thing a couple years ago.
Spirited.
That was a riff on Christmas Carol, wasn't it?
I don't know, but
yeah, I think it was a musical kind of take on it. And then, of course, you had the Muppet Christmas Carol,
which I think is the definitive like adaptation that I think people go for. I still have not seen it.
You've not seen the Muppet Christmas Carol? The
Muppets weren't really like a part of my childhood, and I know friends of mine, I'm going to get in trouble with them, that I've still never seen it. But
it's honestly like terrific performance from Michael Caine.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Go check it out. So you know, this was an interesting take on A Christmas Carol, and definitely encapsulated the American. The American part of American Christmas Carol, the exploring the trailer park
milieu,
and now what we know now about dollar stores from John Oliver makes this even more of an American Christmas tale.
By far the cleanest dollar store you have ever
yes,
seen.
Yes, very very film. Well maintained for a dollar store. That's
That is definitely not a dollar store for that they shot in. It looks like they shot on location in some kind of store, but it was definitely not a Family Dollar.
Probably a Walmart or a Kmart. There were some wild bits in this. Like one thing I realized, the potato gun thing. You know, towards the beginning when they shoot that potato gun and then hit what's his name on his motorcycle.
Yeah, what a random bit.
Yeah, and then
totally
it was like very Napoleon Dynamite. But then I realized like 20 or 30 minutes passes until he shows up at the funeral, which is like, how powerful was that potato gun that they shot it and it clobbers him and then he doesn't show up until like 20 minutes later.
I kind of forgot, because I think he shows him, he's like picking something off his face, and by that time I had forgotten what had happened.
It was the potato. The potato was caked onto his head.
Yeah. which also doesn't make sense. Like, the 20 minutes, you would expect that he stopped, like, wiped it off, and then continued, but he shows up with it. So, like, so what were you doing?
Yeah. He was just driving around town, I guess, with a potato on his head. Then there was the when Rodney... Rat Tail Rodney was like working out in his front yard and seemed to be using a regular like dumbbell as a shake weight.
I remember that.
That made me chuckle. But I think my favorite line that made me laugh was, of course, from Wendy, when she said, "See, you can wear that dress to the Sizzler or the prom." I love that one.
I wanted better for Wendy. I mean, this is 2 years after Bridesmaids, right? Bridesmaids was 2011.
Yeah, 2010 or 2011, something around there.
Would have been right about the time that Goldberg started, and it just like this wasn't a good part for her. Like, it didn't find like the vein that she works best in.
Yeah, well, you know, I have all sorts of theories about how this movie may have gotten made, but you know, I can see how someone would like read the script and be interested in the concept and the idea. And yeah, there were some funny bits. It just didn't quite come together, I think, probably like everyone thought it would. And to me, like, there was, I think the score, like, there was a big piece missing in the score. It was just very like sedate, you know? And like just kind of like things were happening. It was, I don't know. I'm not gonna spend too much time dissecting and analyzing the filmmaking qualities, but
but the trailer promises this like raucous kind of Christmas comedy, and it's just, it's not that. I think that's the bummer, is that like the concept of it, the premise, or watching the trailer, like, I see what they were going for, but that's not the movie. It's like this person really reckoning with like the decisions in her life and what could happen to her kids in the future. It's sad. It's a really sad movie.
It was sad, yeah. Like, because the whole time too, I'm like, oh, she's not going to change, is she? Which is, I guess, a testament to the acting or the story or something. The fact that she does was nice. I was happy for her at the end that she turned it around, at least for this Christmas.
Yeah. Well, it seems like her salon is gonna be just fine.
It'll be just fine. Although, and then, well, that was the ending with the three ghosts sitting outside the salon. I was like, yeah, okay, all right. But then they disappear, and like the chairs and the cooler are still there. So who set those chairs up? That's what I want to know. Who set those chairs up for the ghosts? Did they bring them out? Are they able to corporeally like manipulate objects? I guess they were a little loose and fast with all that.
Yeah, well, earlier in the movie, the Ghost of Christmas Past like becomes real in just so they can take her clothes off and do the like the beer chugging at the party thing.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah, the rules were not,
I see what you were doing here,
well established in this
one. Well, oh, but man. Yeah, makes me want to watch it again. I don't know, like it's
it'd be a fun like some kind of drinking game, like,
for sure.
Every time there's a bad wig on screen or
I almost have to recommend people see it just to like, it's such a curiosity.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's so weird. Well, anyway, I have so much to look forward to that you're working on, and I can't wait to see some of these movies, especially the Jenna Ortega one. That's huge.
Yeah, yeah, no, it turned out really nicely, I think. Yeah, shout out to director Tiffany Paulson on that too, and yeah, it's got a good cast, good story. So check it out when keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Can't wait. I look forward to that. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. This is going to be a great long bonus episode. We had a lot to talk about, and yeah, can't wait to see some of these movies that you have on the slate for this year.
Thanks for having me. Good catching up with you too.
It was my pleasure. And thank you everyone for listening. If you like what we're doing, please give us a rating, leave a positive review. You can give us your unfiltered opinion on Instagram @AmericanScenePod, and we'll see you next time.